text, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. Boy, I'm looking for God to do something this week. I'm looking for Him to really meet us and visit us. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Prophet Isaiah said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway." Everybody say a highway. A highway for our God. "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." Oh, somebody say, that's what I'm looking for. Amen. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken." Father, with one voice and one heart, I pray that you would come and tune our hearts and minds to see, to savor your power and your grace. I ask, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to sow into our lives the presence of a resurrected Christ. I pray this morning that we will be reminded that you are in fact mighty to save and to sanctify. Lord, visit us this morning in a special way. Remind us of how great you are. And Lord, I understand that no one is here by accident, so everyone is here by divine appointment. Meet us. And Lord, do all this to your glory and your praise and honor. In Jesus' name, all God's people shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, clear the way for the King. Clear the way for the King. In various texts of Scripture, we find analogies that compare our lives to various things. Today in this text, we see our lives being compared to that of a highway. Isaiah says that we must prepare the highway of our hearts so that God can visit us. For the framework of this context, I thought it interesting because they tell us that back in Isaiah's day, when kings traveled from one region to another, it was a very big deal. Somebody say, big deal. They didn't have the Eisenhower interstate system that we have today. They would often have to hire men to go ahead of the royal procession. And they would actually be those to prepare the way for the king. They would prepare, basically building a road as to provide the smoothest form of travel for their king. And this involved the task of filling in low spots and valleys and lowering the hilltops and straightening out curves. And essentially, they were just polishing the path so that their king could travel with ease and comfort. So that was back then. But now, back to us here in the 21st century, though we don't have earthly kings wanting to physically travel from city to city like they did then, how many know we have a heavenly King who wants to come and visit His people? How many would love for God to visit us this week out at the campgrounds? Recently, I was thinking how the summer and the fall seasons are times of a lot of road building, a lot of road repair. The goal is to make a smooth, drivable surface for the public to travel from one place to the next. Low spots are filled in, high places are cut down to make the road more passable. Trees are cleared, rocks are removed, hindrances to travel are taken out of the way. And we don't enjoy construction delays, do we? I don't. When we are traveling, when I see that construction sign ahead, I just say, oh, Lord, don't let it be a long time. But we do appreciate well-maintained roads. And without good roads, our daily life and business would be greatly hindered. And just as we rely on good roads in our physical world, how many know good spiritual road construction is essential when it comes to our relationship with God? Isaiah the prophet wrote about spiritual road building and repair as being an essential or precondition or a requirement for us if we want to experience a visit from God's power, if we want to experience some help and deliverance. Obstructions in our lives are the things that hinder God from visiting us. Hello? And the truth is, how many know God will not visit us against our will? Huh? That's key. God wants to visit us, but we have to pave the way for Him. Every person has a highway to their heart, and their heart is the King's destination. But some of us have roadblocks and hindrances that we may have to clear ourselves before God can visit us personally. So Isaiah the preacher in this text instructs us to do everything we can to make our hearts as accessible. Somebody say accessible to the heavenly King. He would ask the question like, do our lifestyle help or hinder the King's visitation? Honestly, I think that it's time that as Pentecostal believers, how many is Pentecostal in here? As Pentecostal believers, it's time we seriously evaluate our own actions and decide to prepare the way for our King to come and visit us. And when we do that, what is God promising in return? Well, verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord. If we do what He's asked us to do, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How many would love to see the glory of the Lord at Camp Blessing? How many would love to see the glory of the Lord at Broadway today? Listen, some of the challenges, I'm looking in this text, and I think the challenge remains. We, God's people, need to clear a highway for God by removing the hurdles that keep us away from God and keep God away from us. And also note that those words were written to people who had been living in long captivity. Their enslavement was actually a result of their own decision to turn from God's ways. God, however, here's the good news, did not abandon them.
Oh, praise God.
He sent Isaiah to speak for him and point the people to a great hope, a hope that they would and could be delivered. God was going to come and help them. And the most encouraging news, I think, implied in this text is that God the King was moving toward them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The King is moving our direction, Broadway. I said, the King is moving our direction. This was exciting news for the people in captivity to know that their King was on His way to assist them, yet the people had a part to play. The King needed some cooperation. They were to prepare the way for God by removing things in their lives that stood in the way from His activity and His blessing upon them. Years later, when John the Baptist was announcing the coming of Christ, he used Isaiah's same words we find this, what he called the people of Israel to do in prepare the way. The people were to clear things out of their lives that would hinder God from revealing Himself to them as a long-awaited Messiah. And so the same principle, I feel, applies to us today. Isaiah says, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, the word prepare literally means make clear. Clear the clutter, the obstacles. And the obstacles are what makes highways challenging. You ever been driving down the road and there was something in the road? I mean, driving down the road and somebody had dropped a big bag of trash. Driving down the road and a ladder had come off of a construction truck. Or how about this one? Driving down the road and a mattress is laying in the road. A box. Driving down the road, I was driving down the road one time and a cow was out and it got in the road. animals, sometimes people. Makes driving exciting, doesn't it? Huh? No one likes to drive over or through or around obstacles. Preacher, I was reading, I believe he was from Georgia. He was saying that their local town has a chicken warehouse, processing plant, and they have what's called, he called them gut trucks. They haul nothing but you know what. And he was teaching his daughter how to drive, and they got behind a gut truck, and somebody slammed on their brakes in front of the gut truck, and that gut truck had to slam on his brakes and caused you know what to overflow and came right on that young lady's car. She's trying to learn how to drive. She just froze and said, "Daddy, now what do you do?" He said, "Turn on the wipers." Oh, come on here. No one likes to drive over or through or around obstacles. And Isaiah says, God doesn't either. Oh, help me preach. He calls upon us to remove the obstacles and prepare a way for his visit. And a newsflash here this morning, the truth is we often throw one obstacle after another at God. And it slows the work of God down in our lives. There are times when you and I want and need to see God intervene with power, with strength in our lives. Perhaps we find ourselves in bondage. We have emptiness in our hearts. God is more than willing to help, yet he calls upon us to make a highway into our hearts so that he can come and visit us and transform us. See, Isaiah says that this road building involves some things like filling in the valleys of our lives, adding the attitudes or behaviors that's missing that should be there. It also involves taking down the mountains and the hills and the things in our lives that stand in the way that shouldn't be there. And the promise is, if we'll build the highway, church, the King will come. I said, that's the promise. If we'll build the highway, the King will come. If you are at a place where you need God's help, then you need to start building a highway for the King to come and minister to you. Along with your prayers for help, I want you to start straightening out what's within your power to do, and it will prepare the way for the visit from the King. And so now, notice with me, I have just a few points this morning because I want us to see that this highway, Isaiah says, must be built in four phases. Everybody say four phases. The valleys, that's the low places, must be exalted. That's number one. That's brought up. Every hill, that's a high place, must be made low. The crooked places must be made straight. And then finally and fourthly, the rough places be made plain. So the King has promised to come if and when we prepare the way. Let's look at these four phases. Somebody say, fill up the low places. That's the good place to start. Okay, this is the filling process. The valleys. A valley is a crevice. It's a gutter. It's a low place. This would be the low and the troublesome areas of our lives as believers, the empty places, the lacking places, the places that we seem to get bogged down in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Isaiah the preacher says, do what you have to do to fill those places up. And the best filling for those areas in our lives is called getting full of the Holy Ghost. Huh? And once those valleys are filled and those low places are leveled out, then get ready, Isaiah says, because God will drop by for a visit. All right, so what is your valley here this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is your valley? Is it some area of failure? Is it some hardship you are experiencing? Is it a financial issue, marital issue? Is it your past? If you listen, I was thinking earlier, if we could just enter this week of camp with every valley in our lives already filled, then the ground would be level, and I think we could have revival on the first night. Does that sound like a good idea? Huh? We got to start by filling the low places. Number two, bring down the high places. So we are also told, bring down the mountain. Now, when a highway is being built in a mountainous area in the hills, those high places are usually blasted away. How many know what I'm talking about? maybe with dynamite, so they can build the road through it. And obviously the prophet is telling us that in order to prepare for the king's visit, we got to deal with some high places. And I would like to look at that as our pride. The Apostle James laid down a vital divine principle in one of the most critical revival passages in the New Testament. He said this, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. God is offended by human pride. If you're proud this morning, you're actually resisting God. God is resisting you. But he will come to us when we're humble. Oh, how many wants the Lord to visit? That's why he said every mountain must be made low. So we have the filling process first. Here's the leveling process next. Mountains are the things that stand in our way. You know, I ask myself, what's my mountain? How many know everybody has a mountain? What is my mountain that hinders the visit from the king? Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's a holding on to a sinful habit. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's indifference. Maybe it is self-will. Maybe it is misplaced priorities. Maybe it's selfishness, greed, or depression. Maybe it's lust or jealousy or bitterness. Maybe it's a worldly friend or two. Hello? Maybe it's an addiction to a substance. Maybe it's an addiction to a media game. Hello, young people. Maybe it's a toxic thought life. Maybe it's a wounded spirit. Something happened and you can't get over the past. Maybe it's you're angry with God over something that happened. You're resisting the Lord in some area. Maybe it's just a bad attitude. Maybe you're just looking for problems all the time. Maybe it's prayerlessness. Maybe it's a debt, or maybe it's hypocrisy. Maybe it's disobedience to parents and authority issues. Maybe it's marital problems. Maybe it's a dysfunctional family history. Maybe it's just a lot of job stress. Maybe it's low self-esteem. Maybe it's ego. Maybe it's just a busyness, too many irons in the fire, and you have no time for God. Some of you have a mountain of addiction. Some of you may have an addictive behavior like unpredictable anger, or maybe some kind of biting bitterness. Some know the dark mountain of internet pornography. Others may be chained to a massive grudge that won't leave you without some kind of revenge. Maybe still others are fighting an inner battle with a mountain of skeletons in your closet that are rattling louder and louder and louder. Listen, whatever your particular mountain is, it has left you at a dead-end street, a street of despair and darkness and even spiritual death. And your heart's cry down deep inside is, oh God, I am so lonely. Let me tell you what you need, beloved. You need a visit from the king. You need to start preparing the way for the king's caravan. Listen, he has the answer to your problem, but you've got to make the proper preparation. Somebody raise your hands and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to start preparing a way. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a little bit better. Everyone has a mountain. And Isaiah says, if you'll start tearing that mountain down stone by stone, listen, the king will begin to come your way. Hallelujah. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to have a visit. Oh, come on, say it a little louder. I'm not talking about a visit from your mother-in-law. Uh-oh. I'm talking about a visit from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about a visit from the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the one you need, the one I need. He's everything we need. Praise God. Number three, Isaiah says, straighten out the crooked places. First of all, what we have to do, first of all, he said we needed to fill up the low places. Then secondly, he said bring down the high places. Thirdly, we need to straighten out the crooked places. God's arrival at our church, God's arrival in our lives, waits for the time when we begin to finally straighten out what is crooked. Hey, how many would agree that the more stable and consistent our lives are, the more God can accomplish in and through us what He desires to accomplish? Hello. Our generation, we've got the yo-yo Christian down pretty good. Huh? The problem occurs when we throw a curve towards God. Several, maybe not just one, maybe we're pretty good at throwing Him several curves. It's easier for God to work in us if we don't throw curves at Him. You say, what's a curve? A curve is when we choose our way over His way. A curve is when we think we know better than He knows. Curves are when we're distracted by the flesh and we listen to the flesh rather than listening to the Spirit. Curves are what happens when we lose our focus. When you start looking at things beside the road, you start making a curve. You start drifting. Curves are what happens when we choose to go around an obstacle instead of removing the obstacle. Imagine driving every day around curves, around ruts and potholes and noise-filled surfaces like those rumble strips. Don't they get on your nerves? Huh? It would certainly slow you down and cause you frustration. Yet that is exactly what we do to God when He's wanting to do a great work in our lives. We often make it hard for Him. Hello? The highway to our heart becomes a challenging one, filled with the potholes of our sin, the ruts of our own stubbornness, the noise of all of our own distractions. Isaiah says you got to remove the hindrances and then you can enjoy a visitation from God like you've never experienced before. Clear the way of the curves. Clear the way of the clutter, because He says the crooked needs to be made straight. That is the straightening process. Preparation for the king's visit must contain all of these, the filling, the leveling, and the straightening. But a visit from the king, I want to just remind you, church, it is always worth it. Hallelujah. The king's visit and His glory is more important than money. The king's visit in His glory is more important than health. The king's visit in His glory is more important than the games that we play. The king's visit in His glory is more important than the friends that we have. There is nothing more important to Broadway than experiencing a visit from the king this week. I gotta hurry. Number four, smooth out the rough places. This is the smoothing process. There's several hindrances to God's blessings that are not easily dealt with. I understand that. Let me just take one for example. Some of us may need to smooth out our tongue. Somebody say, ouch. How many knows gossip has to go if the king's going to visit? How many knows complaining has to go if the king is going to visit? How many knows swearing has to go if the name of above all names is going to come for a visit? If we could just get our tongues cleaned up, it would go a long way towards having a divine visitation. I was thinking this week, talk about a highway. Some Pentecostals have tongues with four lanes going in both directions. Hello? Oh, we better move on. All right, let me recap here. I want to see the riches gleaned from Isaiah's message so far. So he says, every low, shallow place in me and my life needs filled in order for God to draw near. These are places of guilt and shame and complacency, places of discouragement and doubt and maybe some weariness and such. He says, every high barrier in me, in my life, needs to be brought down in order for God to draw near to me. See, these are roadblocks of habits and addictions, maybe mountains of unforgiveness and pride and self-centeredness. Listen, all uneven ground in me, in my life, needs to be made level in order for God to draw near. These are crooked places and self-defeating thought patterns and pockets of hypocrisy and dishonesty and mixed up priorities. All the rough edges and rugged places in my life, I have to smooth into planes, smooth planes so that God will draw near. These are things that trip me up in my daily life, like maybe the lack of love and maybe treating others with contempt or giving in to a distraction, or maybe it's a root of bitterness. I looked at all those things and I said, my Lord, that's powerful and easy to see why Christ often feels so far away from us when we have all these manner of blockages and potholes and crookedness and roughness that block our way. This is why Isaiah said there is a voice, and I want us to tune our ears to that voice this morning that's crying in the wilderness and that is calling for us to make a way. And if we will make a way, then God Almighty will come and visit us. He promises to come if we will prepare the way. And so the question is this morning is, will you let Pastor remind you that we must prepare the way for King Jesus today? We must prepare the way Sunday for God to meet us Monday. We have to prepare the way today for Christ to meet us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, listen, church. How will you prepare the way? I've got some good news. The King is moving toward us. That's awesome. But there's something we have to do. And I pray this morning that before we leave this house, we'll begin to, make some level places and make some mountains fall down and make some valleys rise up and say, hey, Lord, whatever I have to do, whatever my heart says I'm going to have to get rid of, I'll be able to lay it aside. Why? Because the King is coming into my heart. The King is coming into my soul, and I'm preparing a way for Him. Woo. Somebody say praise God. All right. I'm going to give you one illustration. Can I add an audio visual to this? And then we're going to close. And you can go eat your roast beef. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hey, Brother Farley, why don't you be the King? Huh? You just hold that, and would you wear this if it fits? I don't think you got to go over a lot of hair there. All right, brother, you're the King. Can you stand over by that door? Oh, hallelujah. Brother Miguel, since you're already over there, will you be my heart? Sister Vanessa says, you trust him with that? Can you stand over there, my brother? All right. We've got the King. We've got the heart. We've got a highway. All right. The highway is on this side of the altar. Okay? Now go on that side. Now I need some more help. Because I need some clutter. And I know you're not going to volunteer to be clutter, so let's get some of these young folks. Brother Seth, will you come and help me? Hallelujah. How about a root of bitterness? All right, can you look like a root? There you go. What a good-looking root. All right, just hold that where people can know what you are other than just looking silly. How about it, brother? How about selfishness? All right. Just clutter the way. just clutter the way. Why don't you just sit down on the floor? Yeah, we're roadblocks. How about greed? Come on, Isaac. Would you be some greed? All right, right here is fine. Whatever you can do to blockade this highway, whatever you got to do. Oh, here's one no one wants to. Oh, you want to. This is lust. All right. You want to come? You don't have to if you don't want to, young man. Come right ahead. God bless you. Just hang out somewhere. How about some jealousy? John, come ahead. John. We appreciate John. He's been coming, getting in the altars. We appreciate you. Why don't you hang out over there? All right. How about some toxic thoughts? Is these seminary boys here? Let's see. Okay, would you help me? What's your name, brother? You look like your dad. Are you Brother Grant? You're Landon. Oh, that's right. No kidding. She's sitting by him. How old are you, brother? 18. My goodness, I got food in the refrigerator older than that. That's it. Toxic thoughts. Just hang out on over that way. How about some substance addiction? Oh, these are getting bigger. These hurdles are getting bigger. How about it, brother? Would you come and help me? I thought she had a shining countenance today. How about a wounded spirit? Huh? Huh? Buddy, you want to help me? How about anger and rage? Just hang out there. Are you guys getting a picture of the clutter in the highway? Hypocrisy. And you girls want to help me? No? You? No? You want to help me? Hypocrisy. Just stand right over here. Hypocrisy, young people, is trying to look like something that you aren't. How about this one? I need a teenager for this one. Authority issues. Huh? Who? Tyler. All right, you were picked, Bubba. All right. Authority issues. All right. All right. We've got a king. His destination is our heart. Why? Because in our heart is where transformation takes place. It's in our heart, the Bible says, flows out of the heart comes the water of life, the issues of life. For the king to get to the heart, we've got a lot of obstacles. Hello. We've got a lot of clutter. How about it, king? Can you slowly? Hey, get in his way. Everybody get in his way. Everybody get in his way. Give him a cold shoulder. Give him a push if he comes too close. Huh? See? All right, guys, hold him back. You're not going to, don't get through. Wow, they're doing a good job. I think they're liking this. All right. Okay, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Just freeze. But how many know our heart has to have a desire? And I believe every time we take one step towards the king, he'll take two toward us. Hello. The king is coming. But you know what? The king wants to know that you really, really want him. That you really prioritize a visit from him. So you know what? You can't stay where you're comfortable. You've got to face your clutter. You have got to advance. You have got to decide, is my rage and my anger worth keeping me from visitation with the king? And once you decide to move forward, you're going to have to take the rage and the anger, and you're going to have to destroy it. Just rip it up, brother. Now you can go sit down. Thank you for your help. All right? Oh, somebody, come on. We need a few spiritual cheerleaders in the house. I said we need a few spiritual cheerleaders in the house. Oh, hallelujah. The next thing you're going to have to deal with is a wounded spirit. Is a wounded spirit worth coming between you and the King? Is a wounded spirit worth keeping you out of the glory and the presence of a God who is able to meet every need in your life, whether that need is emotional or spiritual or marital or financial or relational? Is a wounded spirit, huh? Then what are you going to do with a wounded spirit? You're going to destroy it. Oh, somebody say, praise God, praise God, hallelujah. Now, brothers, come here, brother Grant. Come here, and I might use you in a minute. Stand over here. Okay? All right. As you advance towards God, as you advance toward the King, substance addiction. Oh, listen, folks. This is one generation that is so addicted. I said we are addicted to anything and everything. Listen, folks. We've got people in our nation that are addicted to unbelievable things because they think they're going to feel a void in their heart. And I read about one recently that was addicted to eating dirt. Dirt is what they craved, and dirt is what they feast on every day. I don't know whether it's drugs, whether it's nicotine, whether it's alcohol. Listen, friends, those things will keep you from a visit with the King. And I'm saying it's time you advance. It's time you advance. It's time you break the addiction. It's time you destroy the addiction. Come here, brother. Over here and help me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, and I believe, the devil gets even more upset. I said he turns up the heat when he sees this gap between the King and the heart getting smaller. When he sees this advance spiritually. Listen, friends, when you go to youth camp, when you go to revival, you can't leave that last day and think everything's going to be fine and dandy. You better realize the devil's madder at you than he's ever been, and he's going to turn up the heat on your life, and the time you walk off of the campgrounds, you better be ready for a fight from hell. I said, get ready for a fight, because he does not like you being in the same vicinity as the King. Oh, power of God. So you know what? Once God sees you and your heart's desire, he sends the Holy Ghost. I said he sends some backup. Come on, boys. Let's have some backup. And listen, you just start helping him and assisting him and go ahead and start escorting these guys out of here. Oh, somebody give him some praise. I said the Holy Ghost comes alongside to help, and he begins to send. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And guess what? There is a reuniting with the King, and the King begins to share his glory. Oh, for somebody in the house this morning to say, oh God, I want to see your glory more than anything else. What are the internal and external barriers to the King coming and being in your life and dwelling in your heart? Listen, friends, I feel the Holy Ghost, and I feel the Holy Ghost is able to provide a spiritual bulldozer and begin to clear that highway. I said, clear the highway, clear the highway. Go ahead, take them away. Oh, that's it, guys. You can go back to your seats. Why? Because you've represented something that's come between the King and the heart. And this morning we're going to say, hey, it's not worth it. The distance isn't worth it. The clutter isn't worth it. But I'm going to get in the King's presence. If we will build the highway, if we will clear the highway, he will reveal his glory. Woo. If we don't build it, it's going to be highway robbery. It's going to be revival robbery. We will be robbed of seeing the glory of God. Hallelujah.
I said, I do not want to be robbed of seeing the glory of God. You say, what's the glory of God look like? It looks different for me than it looks for you. Because my problems aren't your problems, and your problems aren't my problems. For each of us, we've got different things that we need the Holy Spirit, the King, to reveal His glory to, that will meet my heart like only the King knows my heart needs to be met. But I'll tell you, I don't care what your need is, whether you fall on this side or that side, He's still in the business. I said, He's still in the heart transforming business, and He will minister if you'll clear the highway. Don't get me wrong. The King has enough power. When the heart was over there, the King had enough power. He could have just went through all of this clutter. Because the King really is unstoppable. But I also opened this sermon by saying that He will not visit you against your own will. I'm here at youth camp another year. I only got one more year left. I think everything's okay. I'm all right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. I worship you, Lord. The King isn't moving. But when you realize and say, oh, God, I've only got, this may be my last year at youth camp. And if I don't get something from you tonight, if I don't get something from you this year, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, we've got young people in this generation that are in that predicament. They are so messed up. They are so exposed to the dysfunction in their homes that only a passionate passion for Christ is going to do anything for them long lasting. Oh, they can get an emotional high. They can shout. They can cry their tears at camp. I'm not talking about emotional high. That can come. God bless it. God bless it. I'll run with them, shout with them. But listen, friends, I'm talking about something that's going to last 5, 10, 15, 20 years from that night of youth camp. Oh God, I'm wanting a visit from the King, one that will stay with us for years to come, ones that we can look back upon and say, that night at youth camp, that night on revival, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, that was the night I had a breakthrough. And it wasn't because I was comfortable. It wasn't because I enjoyed just going and moving with the flow. It was because I got enough courage in my heart to stand up and then step out and say, whether my other pew friends were willing to sit there or not, I need a visit from the King, and I will make the move first. Yes. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord really wants to come, and He will come, because the results of our preparation is we will have a privilege of beholding the glory of our God. Ooh. Is there anybody in the house that's hungry for the glory of God in your life? Just raise your hands and start praising Him right where you're at. Oh God, I'm hungry for Your glory to be revealed. Send the power of the Holy Ghost. Sister Jones, that song you guys opened the service with, Let the Glory of the Lord Rise. Where's your team at? Come. I want you to sing that again. Woo. Lord, I'm preparing the highway. Can you pray that prayer right now? Lord, I'm preparing a highway. What are you doing, son? What are you doing, sister? Why are you going to all that work? I'm preparing a highway. Why are you putting forth all that effort to put on Camp Blessing? What about it, volunteers? Why do we do it? We're preparing a highway. I said we're preparing a highway. And when the Holy Ghost comes, we're going to see His glory. We're going to experience His power. Oh, yes.
Let the glory of the Lord rise.
Let the glory of the Lord rise.
Rise among us.
Anybody in the house? Anybody in the house want to prepare a road? Oh, start clearing the clutter. It's going to start on Sunday before it happens on Monday. Oh, hallelujah.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. As the praises of the King.
Touch these young people. Touch these moms and dads. Right. If you'll build the road, He'll come to you. I need a visit from the King.
Let the praises of the King.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, that's it. God bless you. If you want to find a place to pray, you're welcome to. If you've got to go, we understand. But please, please, whatever you do today, say, God, I'm going to prepare a way. I'm preparing a highway. That's it. I'm preparing a highway. Oh, glory to God. Because Jesus is coming. The King is coming. And I'm going to have a visitation with Him. Oh, let the glory of the Lord
rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. As the praises of the King rise among us, let it rise.